Welcome to This Is The Way Phase 4. I'm your host, Steve Lascalzo. This is a podcast about the stories Marvel Studios tells on Disney+. It all started with WandaVision in January of 2021. Now it's May of 2022 and we've reached the season 1 and what might be the series finale of Moon Knight. That's what I'm discussing today. The first episode debuted on March 30th, 2022, and things wrapped up on Star Wars Day of all days, May the 4th. If you're planning on listening further, you must assume any content officially released by Marvel Studios as of this recording is fair game for discussion. The premise of this podcast is discussing episodes and how it fits into the MCU in Phase 4. So this is your last chance to avoid hearing about everything, up to and including Moon Knight Season 1, Episode 6.
Final warning.
If you'd like to ask a question or point something out, please send emails to thisisthewayphase4@gmail.com or interact with us on Instagram or Twitter at thewayphase4. You can also check out our webpage at facebook.com/thewayphase4. You can find additional links by going to linktree/thewayphase4. That's linktr.ee/thewayphase4. If you're looking for Star Wars content, please try our Linktree at thisisthewaypod and follow the links there.
Now tell me this. If I send an email, where would I put the stamp? Technology.
Episode 6 is called Gods and Monsters. The episode has a Disney Plus stated runtime of 44 minutes. Only the animated What If series had a shorter finale, and season 1 of that show had 9 episodes, where Moon Knight only has 6. From just after the Disney Plus splash to the start of the end credits, it's around 34 minutes. You can tack on another 2 minutes and 10 seconds or so for the mid-credit scene. You know, I saw it being called a post-credit scene on YouTube, and there are full credits over black after that scene, so I don't know what they're seeing.
Hello? Where are you?
For most of the series, except for episode 5, I think, the descriptions of each episode are different on the episodes tab when compared to the main show page after you select and then start an episode and then go back. While the thumbnail, or short description, reads, as Moon Knight joins the fray, Mark, Steven, and Khonshu must work together to stop Amit. I'd like to add Layla to that list. The longer description that accompanies the episode if you head back to the show page reads, with Layla tracking down Harrow, Mark, Steven, and Khonshu must return to Cairo to stop Amit as she looks to threaten humanity once more. So Layla gets her mention, at least in that one. The director for episode 6 is Mohamed Diab. There isn't a written by credit for this one. Story is by Danielle Iman and Jeremy Slater, and he's the showrunner. The teleplay is by Jeremy Slater and Peter Cameron and Sabir Perzada. Oscar Isaac is still Stephen Grant, Mark Spector, Moon Knight, Mr. Knight, but he gets his credit added for the Spanish-speaking driver Jake Lockley in this episode. That's Khonshu's very willing avatar. Mae Kalamaui is Spector's wife Layla El-Fawli. F. Murray Abraham provides the voice for Khonshu, while Kareem El-Hakim is the motion capture performer. Antonia Salib gets credit for Tauret, even though she was only the voice, but maybe she also does mocap for when the hippo goddess appears on screen? Sabah Mubarak was the voice of Amit, which is funny because that's what they called Alexander the Great, right? They called him the voice of Amit, and, well, it's Sabah Mubarak. On set Amit is a credit. That was Sophia Danu, and I'm guessing she was just reading the lines or something when they were going over it. I don't know. All the avatars are back. You know, they didn't last too long, and I think I've already stated my policy about not naming characters who haven't appeared in other Marvel. You know, if it's not an Easter egg somehow, well then, you know, I don't really include their credits. Ethan Hawke, though, is Arthur Harrow and, I guess, Dr. Harrow and Patient Harrow. The music in this one, Mas'ala del Sol from last episode, that was in last episode at the end when Mark finally got to Arut. The End, performed by Earl Grant, starts off the episode, I guess, with the Marvel slate. My Way of Life, sung by Sinatra, is in this, and a reprise from episode 1 of A Man Without Love by Engelbert Humperdinck. Pressing play on episode 6, you get the Disney Splash, then a Previously On segment, then the Marvel Studios slate has The End, sung by Grant over it. As the slate fades out, Mark Spector's dead body fades in. We get the answer to the question I asked last episode about, you know, where is the Ashabti? Mark had it stashed on his person somewhere, in his clothes. Layla is still hiding in the crypt, but one of Harrow's henchmen is wandering around. Layla ends up silencing him or her, either killing or knocking out the hooded henchman. Harrow holds the Ashabti aloft, and the henchmen near him kneel. I was surprised he didn't just smash it there, but maybe it has to be done in the pyramid? One other thing I noticed was how he placed the scarab on Mark's chest as he left him in the water. I guess he doesn't need it anymore, but he even apologizes to Mark, Stephen, and whoever else is in there. Over his shoulder, two images are sketched near the ceiling, and it looks like two people were being eaten by twin alligators, but I think it was two winged figures that were, had their wings open towards two almost identical looking sets of hieroglyphs. I think they usually, the form it is, it's got like a circle on top and then an oval-shaped engraving with several hieroglyphs in the middle, and I think that's usually a name, but I really took it to mean maybe this was a nod to having both Mark and Stephen being separate but equal individuals in the Duat.
Who wants to heal the world?
Harrow's staff transforms, even though he doesn't smash the Ushabti. It goes from a double alligator handle to one larger head of an alligator or crocodile, and then an axe blade looking thing on the back. He and his henchmen leave the tomb. Layla stays for a moment and heads over to Stephen's body. She grieves over him, cries, and then she steals herself and grows angry right about the time she finds the scarab. Now, at first, I thought this was maybe, you know, her realizing, oh, he caused her father's death over this stupid little scarab, but it isn't. It's also curious that she uses the scarab. I mean, Harrow and his men only left the crypt 20 seconds ago, so why does she need to use this, you know, compass to find the Ushabti? This is clearly happening concurrently with Mark and Stephen's trip through the Duat from last episode. We know this because Harrow and his men are driving in a small caravan of trucks towards Cairo. Now, maybe they had this from an earlier draft and just forgot about it and left it in, because I think we need to see how Layla snuck onto one of the cars. Because why would she need to follow them with the scarab if she's just going to sneak onto the cart? I don't believe the group is big enough for people not to notice an interloper. You know, she had her face covered, but still. Well, the cars reach a traffic checkpoint at some point, and the cars have to stop. And this is my first nitpick of the episode. The sun is on the left side of the road as they're driving. So if we're supposed to believe this is the next morning with the sun rising in the east, they would be heading south. Google Maps says to make the trip an 8-hour drive from the Siwa area, you should head north and then drive along the Mediterranean. Driving south to then take the road east and north takes you almost 12 hours, leaving no daylight left for them at the pyramids to get inside. Does this matter? No.
Show me your papers.
I don't need to show you my papers.
Erkan Arvaya!
You need to show us your soul.
Harrow and his men exited the car, leading the armed men on the highway to draw weapons on them, but Harrow uses the staff to call for judgment on them all. So he smacks it down in the road. I don't know how he doesn't get dropped, but the guards are the one that drops, and only one guard survives. And he calls him a good man, you know, says, oh, this is the face of a good man. This is where we start to catch up to Mark in the last episode, though, because those souls must be the one that Amit was calling on too early that dropped like meteors into the Duat when Tyrat was saying, oh, these are, what's going on?
Unbalanced souls are being judged and condemned to the sands before their time. Oh, this is bad. This is evil.
We see Bobby is still alive, Billy having met his end 2 episodes ago to a Heka priest. She calls on those left in the cars to move the bodies out of the way for the road to be cleared. Layla hops out the back of one of the trucks, as do several others, and she hangs back a bit. It feels like Harrow should have felt her presence. He has that weird ability to know what was going on, or maybe to know preternaturally what was happening. Maybe he's just drunk with Amit power right now. So Layla pulls a knife, creeps closer to Harrow. She's going to take him out, but Tauret starts reaching Layla through the dead bodies of the guards that she passes by. Layla refuses Tauret's offer at being her avatar to help free Khonshu for Mark. But Layla does know now that Mark can come back if she frees Khonshu.
If he can return to life.
What do you mean, return to life?
He is going to need Khonshu. Break his Shapti. It's in the Chamber of the Gods. And you can be my avatar. Mark says wonderful things about you.
No. I'll fight him on my own. It's time to go!
So Layla climbs back aboard, and the next shot we get is the sun shining from the northwest onto the Great Pyramid of Giza, and there's a glimpse of a town to the north as they're climbing up the side of the pyramid. There's no real entrance here, just stone steps up to a place midway up the western face. Harrow strikes his staff, and the rocks start to shift above them out of the way.
The disturbance. Your gods felt it too.
But what does it mean?
Someone is trying to release Amit.
The return of the Avatar, Selim, Avatar of Osiris, Horus's Scottish Avatar, we don't know what his name is, Hathor's Avatar Yatzel, and then the others. I wonder why there is this disturbance. Maybe Khonshu was right after all. It's not like you guys didn't check on Harrow, right? Well, Harrow doesn't have a portal like the other Avatars on the Ennead to go from wherever in the world they are. He just makes one from outside the actual pyramid. I guess we don't technically see that there wasn't a portal made, but if there was, couldn't he have just done that anywhere? I guess then my theory that this was on another plane, while better than what we get here, is wrong. Even though the pyramid verifiably does not have this space inside it in our world, I guess it does in Marvel's multiverse.
You're judges, not warriors.
Doesn't need to happen.
Is that line for me, Arthur? Harrow is right so often in this show. Now, he knows that the Avatars are weak, however he does. He mentions that a fight doesn't need to happen, though. He's not coming in guns blazing. It's Selim that tries using magic, and the other Avatars have their eyes go white behind him as they do. I wonder, are they summoning power from their gods or giving theirs to Selim to combat Harrow? It doesn't work. All we see, though, is Harrow lift his staff, point it towards Selim, but we eventually see that he's defeated them all. But while that takes place, it cuts to Layla. She's found the wall of Ushabtis inside the pyramid. So she goes looking for Khonshu. What, I wonder, did these other gods do to deserve their punishments? I thought she was going to start smashing them left and right and we'd have an old-fashioned god battle, but she carefully searches for the Khonshu statuette.
This is all so avoidable.
It's almost like they intentionally want Harrow to come off as very reasonable most of the time. I suppose that's what makes him a compelling villain. Now, I would assume that had the Avatars not faced him down, he'd have simply called them to judgment, like he did the armed men at the traffic stop. It does make me question the abilities and the strength of these supposed major gods, though. Khonshu seems much more powerful than anybody here in this chamber. Bobby hands Harrow the Ushabti, and he smashes it. Everyone kneels at the appearance of Amit. Like Tauret and Khonshu, she appears as she is imagined in hieroglyphs and drawings. She's not an avatar. She's tall. She's an imposing crocodile or alligator-headed goddess with a human-like body. But her long black hair is braided behind her, almost kind of like a tail. She has a deep, foreboding voice.
To whom do I owe my gratitude?
Your humble disciple, my goddess. To whom you owe nothing.
Your scales lack balance.
Harrow is either a really good poker player or his sincerity works. He tells her it was her humble servant, him, and she owes no one. She says his scales are imbalanced. Harrow offers himself up to her. He offers himself up for judgment, even asking how he can help her in death. She likes what she's hearing. She's compromising her really rigid stance on who gets to stay and who gets judged, right? But she says she's delaying his death and going with the unbalanced scales of Harrow, since her last avatar betrayed her, having perfect scales, Alexander the Great.
I once relied on a servant whose scales balanced perfectly. In exchange, I was bound to stone for 2,000 years.
But I have disciples all over the world whose scales balance perfectly, awaiting your command. They are worthy, my goddess.
But you are the one who set me free. You are the avatar that I need. Serve me, and you will find peace.
So Harrow is anointed her new avatar. She places her hand on his head. His eyes flash purple, unlike the others who had flashed white before their defeat. Back with Layla, she smashes the Ushabti of Khonshu.
I do not sense Mark Spector in this world.
Apparently, Harrow doesn't get a nice new outfit, right? But Khonshu is free now. He immediately gets to work looking for his new avatar. Maybe Layla? Well, she's mad. She doesn't want to hear anything about that. She says she'd rather work together, but on a freelance basis. You know, not thrilled about the exclusivity and perpetuity thing. Meanwhile, Harrow and his men start to head out of the pyramid to judge Cairo, then the world.
Khonshu, time has been cruel to you.
Indeed. I cannot allow you to proceed.
There's someone else here. Find who released him.
Khonshu, now free, heads them off inside the Great Pyramid. Amit has a very brief conversation with him, and Harrow then sends his henchmen off to find out, you know, who released Khonshu.
The scales are balanced. Your heart is full. Your journey is over.
Now we're in heaven. Tauret lays out the situation for Mark in Arut. Maximus made it home, folks. I'm sorry, it looks like the wheat field in The Gladiator, sorry. Anyway, this is where everything falls apart for me. I mean, it is awful.
It's so quiet.
The peace you've always wanted but never had. You're manifesting it. No danger. No loneliness or hurt.
What about Stephen?
The guy is in heaven, and he's got a frown. He misses Steven. Now look, I should end the podcast right here, and I am very tempted to do so. The stakes are laid out that he can't come back if he tries to find Steven. But he does so anyway.
It doesn't work like that. Leave here, and you can't return. Anyway, you don't need him anymore, Mark.
So I get to go on to eternal peace, and he just stays lost in the sand forever?
Look, the show drank a whole load of poison right here. The writers and showrunners are complete idiots for trying to do this now. They're trying to make this about Steven? We're not in a transition phase. Mark is in heaven. He gives up peace forever for his imaginary friend. I don't really care about mental health ideas and issues here. If they wanted this to be believable, they could have just simply had Tauret tell him he just missed heaven. Like, not show him in the field of reeds. Show him stuck on the boat. You have to spend eternity on this boat. Then at least he has something to work toward that's believable. He could have manifested Steven in heaven. If he can't, why did Tauret just say he's manifesting it? Steven was his creation, not another person. I don't care how you slice it. He's not leaving heaven to save Layla. There's no conversation here between him and Tauret saying she knows Layla will be in the Duat if Mark doesn't get out, or that the world in heaven will cease to be if Amit gets her way. There's no cult of the Duat on the boat where people are coming from him. He literally walks out of heaven into the desert. He gives up heaven for the desert. But he doesn't instantly start turning into sand either. He's allowed to wander a little bit until he finds his alternate personality. It is just unbelievable how bad this is.
I'm here to bring balance.
You speak of balance, yet you choose him. Your avatar is a sinner.
You're jealous of his loyalty.
Loyalty at what cost? An empty world? For your disciples to inherit?
Listen to him. He only wants to keep you bound.
Khonshu and Amit have a little back and forth, and at this point, both feel like equals. She's trying to convince him to let her be. Harrow tells her, don't listen, because Khonshu wants to keep her bound. Back in the Duat, Mark finds Steven frozen in sand and starts having a heart-to-heart with him. This is such garbage. I don't care that he's mentally damaged. He's in heaven now. All your pain is stripped away. But Mark gives a little speech, calls Steven the only true superpower. Again, we're supposing here that a person doesn't have a dissociative identity disorder. Instead, it's some kind of superpower now. Because we can't just call it like any of the other things that once upon a time when doctors wanted truth, they'd say, this person has mental problems that need work in a hospital setting. Oh, but wait, folks. It's all okay. Osiris opens the doors back to the world of the living. He passed some test.
You came back. What the hell's wrong with you?
Well, I did a whole little speech there. I wasn't that little.
Are you asshole? Right, look. The gates are open.
Oh, Honshu, for a god, you are low on faith.
I want you to know, I resisted the temptation to put a puke sound effect in there. Amit and Khonshu fight in the pyramid. Amit seems to be more powerful. She's kicking his butt. She offers to spare Khonshu, but he says he chooses obliteration over mercy. Back in the Duat, we don't see Osiris, but he's spared the boys. And somehow, Tauret drives the boat into a wave of sand to give them more time to make it through the gate. Remember, this gate in mythology goes to heaven. This is the last gate they'd have to pass to go to heaven. Here, it goes back to the land of the living. Tauret calls Osiris a big softy for letting Mark and Steven live, but Steven isn't alive, he doesn't have a soul, he's a creation, we saw it happen. I wish I was making this up. Mark wakes up in the crypt of Alexander the Great and calls out to Khonshu. He asks for help. I feel like he just accepted the deal that he's going to argue about later.
Do you want death, or do you want life? Do you swear to protect the travelers of the night? Rise and live again!
Actually, that's exactly what happened. But less than a minute later, we just ignore that, because look, everyone, Mark and Steven are both back in the suit. Alright, folks, sorry to do this. Here's the rest of the show. Mark and, you know, he turns into Moon Knight, flies to Cairo, because somehow Khonshu has the power to turn the clock forward a few hours, turn day into night. No one else notices it in the world, or man, these people in the Marvel Universe really have terrible, terrible things happening to the Earth all the time. Mark literally superhero flies all the way to Cairo in a matter of minutes. Selim is still alive in the pyramid. Layla finds him, tells her the way to trap Amit is to do it inside a human avatar. He also tells her they need more avatars than they have left, and then he dies, and Layla calls out to Tauret.
Tauret, are you there? Layla!
Yep, that line actually happened, folks. She goes on the run from the henchmen who are approaching, and periodically Tauret takes over her body to speak and negotiate with her. It's supposed to be funny, it comes off really badly. Layla doesn't want a permanent arrangement, so she gets a temporary one. It was that easy, you just had to ask. Harrow climbs to the top of the pyramid outside for a great nighttime view. Now, when he calls the spirits and Amun is released, she gobbles them up like something out of Ghostbusters. She grows as tall as the pyramid. Layla gets her superhero costume from Tauret in the middle of this, and it looks awesome, by the way. What an absolute shame they didn't have her change her mind. She should have been Tauret's avatar full time. Honestly, she has an awesome costume with metal wings, really cool swords. This was the best part of this part of the episode. I also want to point out that a couple of days after the show aired on May the 4th, May the 6th or May the 7th, there were tweets and Facebook posts from Moon Knight and the Moon Knight accounts that are controlled by Marvel Studios, and they pretty much laid out Layla is the Scarlet Scarab, which is a character from the comics, I think, that was played by her father, or the character that Layla is based on's father. And so they don't explain this in the show, but apparently they can just say whatever they want after the show, that that was their intention, that she is playing the Scarlet Scarab. Then Mark flies in to fight Harrow, but he's at the pyramid. Instead of tackling Harrow from midair without him even knowing it as he approached, Mark flies in low and hits the pyramid below him. Well, that's so he can get a superhero fight with a guy with superpowers and a guy with a superpowered cane. Where's his outfit? Where's his armor? Mark flies Harrow into the city as they battle it out in the sky. Then they hit the ground, and I should mention, Khonshu is now battling Amit as the Battle of the Avatars is going on. So whatever is happening in that battle between Harrow and Mark Spector, that's what's happening in the battle between the gods. It's never explained why Amit grew eating the souls of the damned while Khonshu grew because what? The writer says so?
There's so little difference in what we want for this world. Why do this dance for the rest of time?
You know the answer. I only punish those who have chosen evil.
So do I. Only I don't give them the satisfaction of committing it. Be at my side.
So, again, the battle that's going on between the gods is our indication that things aren't going so well for Mark. He was still down despite healing armor, remember? And it's totally forgotten. Like, Khonshu gives Mark healing armor. What did Amit give to Harrow? Shouldn't he be now completely and utterly impervious to anything? I don't know why. This show is just poorly written. Harrow somehow gets up, starts smacking on him, takes his staff to Mark, but Layla flies in, knocks him out of the way. Somehow, Harrow's henchmen are there. Layla and Mark and Steven have a heartwarming exchange. Then it's back to the kaiju fighting at the pyramids for just a moment. Then back to Steven in his Mr. Knight gear, Layla in her tower armor. And that's so they can fight the henchmen. And that's why they're there. To give Steven and Mark some people to beat up on. And Layla. Really, that's it. They do a really good job of that. Steven throws something at Harrow, who deflects it. Then it ends up flying back into Mark's hands in his ceremonial garb. So they're switching back and forth. At will, Mark and Layla subdue Harrow, but he uses his axe cane to fire off at innocent civilians in a van. Layla intervenes to save them. Again, superhero Layla is the best part of the show. It gives her her best line of the show, and the proof that I would point to for making Layla a superhero full-time.
Is he superhero, Mosreya?
Since you can't read the closed captioning and you probably don't understand Egyptian Arabic, I'll tell you, it was a young girl asking Layla, "Are you an Egyptian superhero?" And then Layla replies, "Yes, I am." Or she just says, "I am."
Had Amit been allowed to rule, young Randall's life would have been saved. Your family would have been happy. You need only remove one weed from the garden. You!
The fight takes a turn for the worse as the real-world Harrow starts weakening Mark's will with words about how damaged he is and how Amit should have weeded out Mark to save his brother Randall. Ooh, oh blow. The power of the axe cane is significant against Mark's moon knives. He uses it and it knocks one of the knives and actually traps Layla against the turned-over van by pinning part of her armor to the underside of that van. The strength of the blast against Mark seems to be all she wrote. We even see foreshadowing of the stabbing of Mark in the chest with the cane, as Amit can be seen over the buildings at the pyramids, stabbing Khonshu in the chest with his own moon staff. Harrow raises his staff and sends a charge down into Mark's midsection as he's just laying there on the ground. Layla is defending herself against a brutal onslaught of henchmen with automatic weapons. It looks here like evil will win. Mark, though, as another break. This time we see what the breaks like this really were. It is not him transitioning into Mark or Steven from the other. this kind of transition to ones we saw in episode one are to another personality. The third personality we have been given hints at during the previous episodes? Well, he must have a suit that looks like Mark's, not Steven's. How do I know this? Okay. Layla is not unconscious, but she asks Mark, what was that? Steven and Mark, we see switch between the Moon Knight armor and Mr. Knight armor right in front of us. This time, though, the break blacked out Mark and us, but not Layla. She sees what she thinks Mark did. He took out everyone. Well, how? Again, we're not sure. I don't know how it happened, because he blacked out and he was our eyes to the episode, right? This is not clever or cool writing. It's bad storytelling. You can call it cute when it happens in the first couple episodes and you're trying to figure it out and you're left to wonder, how's he going to get out of all this? But if this is Khonshu calling upon an identity like a Super Mario invincibility star and we only see the aftermath?
The power of this room will help us bind Amit to Haro's body. Quick, grab my hands, we can start the spell.
So 1 minute, Mark is holding a broken axe to Haro's head and the next, they're in the Great Pyramid. Layla and Mark start chanting and a purple magic flows out of his hands and goes into some of the large statues of the Ennead members. It flows around in a circle all the way around to Layla. Amit realizes she's being trapped.
We're gonna make this our paradise!
It's too late, Amit. You will be destroyed.
A last desperate plea. Well, so suddenly now she's not powerful? A few minutes ago, she was much more so. But if that's tied to Hera, was all this just a show by Khonshu? Because if he had an ace up his sleeve and then waited to play that power against the Avengers or something? I don't know. What's all this waiting for if he was that powerful in order to do something like that? What is Hera's main power as Amit's avatar? How is she so weak? Just a moment ago, we saw how powerful. It doesn't matter. Harrow's mouth is now like a Ghostbusters trap. It's sucking Amit inside of him, trapping her. Or is it really just putting all of her power into him? Because he's not frozen or dead like a statue. I mean, can't she just give him some kind of armor? Right? How is he able to do this? How are they able to do this? Just the two of them. How is he so knocked out of it?
You can never contain me. I'll never stop.
Finish it. Leave neither of them alive.
This show is so bad. Mark has to finish it. Or never be free, he says. Layla stops him and says, you have a choice. You're free. She wasn't at that meeting outside the tomb of Alexander when he negotiated.
You have a choice. You are free.
The choice is vengeance. We cannot take the chance that Amit finds a way out. She will kill again.
I sound just like her.
The writing is just so, so bad. Apparently, now, Khonshu's crazy. Because he actually wants to dispense actual justice. Not Amit style. Actual justice. She already committed the offenses. He's not judging future deeds. He is judging her based on what she already did. But, okay. I mean, remember here. I'm not using the puke sound effect. This is just terrible writing. You can like the show. You're allowed. It's awful. It is objectively awful. Mark demands his release. Tells Khonshu, you can kill Amit and Hera if you want it done by yourself. Khonshu flies off and agrees. Mark's armor dissipates. Now he's back in the Duat Mental Asylum with Dr. Hera. A very intentionally confusing discussion takes place where Mark and Steven, now they seem to have a really firm grasp on reality. They know now that this place is not real. Mark and Steven, in fact, act as if they are in charge, and Harrow doesn't know it. Right down to them calling out the bleeding shoe prints on the floor. They're calling back to the opening scene of the show where Harrow puts glass in his shoes. Now, Mark and Steven are just going to name it and claim it and go save the world.
While it is tempting to accept your diagnosis, Doc, we'd rather go save the world. Laters, Gators.
Laters, Gators. Oh, how clever. Amit was an alligator. Oh, or a crocodile. How clever. They wake back up in Steven's apartment in London. Engelbert Humperdinck is once again playing on the alarm radio, I guess. There's two fish in the fish tank. Steven and Mark, friends to the end, folks. Mark switches at will between Steven and Mark, which would not be something normal people do, hey, right? But he's a normal person, right? He gave up the suit. He's now just a normal guy who will talk to himself like it's perfectly normal. Oh yeah, but he's tied himself to the bed again. But why? Every day I wake up and I start to break up, lonely as a man without love. Well, after the end credit animated sequence, we have the mid-credit scene with Harrow himself in a mental institution. A nurse notices he spills a cup that he thought contained sand, but had coffee or chocolate milk in it or something. Remember, this is kind of like a call back to when he said, I see this as a pen, and my dog sees it as a chew toy. Well, the nurse says it's time for bed for Harrow, and he's kind of like, oh yeah, okay. But a gloved man speaking Spanish tells her he will take him, I guess she thinks, to his room. But instead, he's wheeled out the front door to a waiting limo that has Spectre plates on it. It seems he was at the Sienkiewicz Psychiatric Hospital. That's a nod to longtime artist Bill Sienkiewicz. Harrow is tossed into the limo. The driver goes around front. Arthur's not scared, and I don't know why. I mean, he shouldn't be scared because he shouldn't be able to be killed because he's got Amit inside of him, right? He assumes that Khonshu can't hurt him. Maybe the physical form of him, but he's just assuming now that he has no other avatars?
You want to know something? Mark Spector truly believed that after he and I parted ways, I wanted his wife to be my avatar. Why would I ever need anybody else when he has no idea how troubled he truly is?
The rules just kind of flip-flop wherever they want him to go. First, you can't kill a god. Now you can kill a god if it's got the body is inside, or the god is inside a body. Khonshu introduces us to his new avatar, which is the old one, but not the old one. But how did Harrow not see this coming? Oh, right. Terrible writing.
Meet my friend, Jake Lockley.
Hoy te toca perder.
Wait.
So there's Jake Lockley at the very, very end. The show had promise, folks. So much so that I came back week after week, and I was kind of excited that episode 4 might turn things around, and then they pulled the hospital stuff in episode 5, which that still could have worked. I think that's what bothers me most about this show, is that I'm an amateur. Or at least I haven't written shows professionally, but even I can see ways that this show could have had a more lasting, more exciting payoff, stayed within the rules it set out for itself. Remember, these are rules that they set up for themselves. And it still could have fit into the Marvel storytelling too, like some of the other shows. You know, look, Loki pulled an homage to Planet of the Apes out of thin air, and it still worked. This show, ultimately, terrible ending, and it makes the whole show a waste of time. It does.
Why? Damn it, why? Why did you...
Stop it! 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 Stop it!
I have already heard this show does not have any ties to the Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness movie. I read some non-spoiler reviews that the movie itself is actually another waste of time, but I'm still going to see it probably. Maybe. There are some political things I don't agree with. Now, I don't know that Marvel lost the touch here, It's shaping up that way. The weakness of comic books themselves has always been someone is always coming along and changing the rules, or the looks, the powers, storylines, even the backstories at times. The miracle of the first few phases of the MCU, or the first, 22 movies or so, was that we were all taken on a ride that had callbacks, payoffs, and we left the theater cheering at the end of Endgame. Right now, the mess they keep turning out has no through line. Maybe it's that there's too many TV shows and none of them are showing direct ties to the movie storylines. Maybe this is an opportunity with the Egyptian gods to tie into the events of Thor, Love, and Thunder, maybe. But if they don't do that, if they don't take these Egyptian gods, that I saw the Greek gods, I saw Zeus in the Thor, Love, and Thunder preview or, advertisement. If they don't tie this in, it's another huge waste. Just make these things matter. That's all for Moon Knight, though.
Oh, mate, thank you. Oh, thanks. Cheers.
There's a rumor, though, that Marvel Studios might have changed up the wording from a series finale to a season finale and some advertising. But they already called this a limited series. I don't think Oscar Isaac has a long-term contract for this show. And other shows that already got one season called them season finales. Like at the time, WandaVision had a season finale. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier had a season finale. Hawkeye had a season finale. And then those shows, didn't even shut off speculation about a second season until very recently. Now they're just one and done. Well, this is the way Phase 4 podcast is going to take a brief break now before attempting to cover Miss Marvel in June. I say attempting, because I'm going to be much more interested in the Obi-Wan Kenobi show that's going to start streaming at the end of May, and then past the supposed start date for Miss Marvel. Honestly, Moon Knight left a really bad taste in my mouth, and I may watch a couple of episodes of Miss Marvel before I decide what I do, and if I do a normal episode-by-episode coverage, maybe I just do a one-episode wrap-up of what we see in the show. Maybe I do a couple of episodes at a time. Now, I think that would kind of be a shame because I think the character is one of the few that, even before airing this first episode, they have a Disney Plus show and they're also slated to appear in a movie. Well, the character of Miss Marvel is slated to appear in The Marvels as well. And I think that's going to be Captain Marvel and also Dr. Monica Rambeau from WandaVision, whatever they call her character. So that's a real shame, but Moon Knight really kind of has left me not knowing what I want to do because things are just not going. Things have been going downhill. Really liked WandaVision. I'm excited actually for a season two of Loki, but maybe I shouldn't be anymore. Maybe this is just a grand waste of time for me because I don't like the direction we're going in. So I don't know what I'm going to do. In the meantime, while I'm waiting and deciding, please check out our links on Linktree at linktr.ee/thewayphase4. You can check out our Twitter periodically and see what we end up doing. If you have an opinion on that, send me an email. thisisthewayphase4@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to This Is The Way Phase 4's Season 1, Episode 6 discussion, the finale of Moon Knight. I'm Steve Lascalzo. Until next time, friends.